Oh, yeah. Nervous about buying a mattress online? Don't be. Helix Sleep has over 12,000 five-star reviews for a reason. Their two-minute sleep quiz matches you with the mattresses. That's a perfect fit. Plus, you have 100 nights to try it out. Risk-free, Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners at helixsleep.com/JRVP. Two more pre-rolls to go. And it's an oldie but goodie. Support for JRVP brought to you by our friends at Manscaped, the leaders in male grooming. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped for their shower time routine by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with the code JRVP. Finally, it's Codecademy.
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 Learning into code might be the easiest way to change your career, especially if you learn with Codecademy. With Codecademy, you can...
Codecademy.
Make sure you say Codecademy. With Codecademy, you can get to an interactive platform.
Codecademy.
Codecademy.
Stop it. You get an interactive platform, custom-built portfolio, certificate of completion, and tailor-made quizzes just for you. Land your dream job in web development, programming, computer science, data science, and tons more. Get 15% off your Codecademy Pro membership.
Codecademy.
Codecademy.
When you go to Codecademy.com.
Codecademy.
Codecademy.
And use promo code JRVP. That's not all, though. Big show. Got a nine-month cruise. We got that Alec Baldwin story and a poop-dumping plane, all coming up on episode 128 of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
If you keep hitting pause, you won't be able to hit play.
Trying to think like what bad movie came out that might be from. Is that like a Dune quote or something?
No, it's not a Dune quote. Although we will talk Dune in a little bit. But someone I know said that to someone else, thinking it was like a cool thing to say.
Like
and
seriously,
I just laughed so hard.
Like
yes.
Meant it seriously.
yeah. There were like two friends fighting, and the other one person was like, if you keep hitting pause, you won't be able to hit play. And I'm like, what? What does this mean? And I was like, I'm using that as my quote. I won't bury the person by saying who it is. But if I told you, you would absolutely believe me that this person said that. It's been a good week. I want to give an update. I want to start with an update on the rummy of it all, because I felt like last week. I mean, I talked like it was like all that stuff last week happened right before the podcast. And even after the podcast, he was just upstairs the whole time, which he never does. He was kind of like hiding upstairs. He was watching me from the top of the stairs, but just up there. That I was like truly worried. Like he sent my trainer, the dog trainer, like a long email. Being like, here's all the stuff that happened today on our walk. I don't know if it's the crate. I don't think it's the crate. And she wrote back and was like, I don't think it's the crate. But that's weird. But puppies are weird sometimes. You're a good dog, dad. Like just feel it out. So I slept on the couch the rest of the week with Rummy. Like Rummy would sleep on the couch with me, which he normally doesn't do. And I was fine with that. I was like, he can't go back in my bed again, but I don't feel comfortable putting him in the crate when he's like this. And then the next morning, I take him out. I'm like, I'm going to take him for a long hike, give him a lot of exercise, and like run it out of him, try to get him going. And he's like feeling better the next day. But when I take him out into the alley while the valet's bringing up my car, I take him out and he doesn't pee. He just starts shaking. Like his back legs are shaking that he's like terrified. And I'm like, what is going on? But I get him in the car. He's happy when he's in the car. On his hike, he's having a ball. We get back. He's all right. But then like that night, I would take him out to go out to the bathroom. And instead of going left into the alley, he busts a right. He's like, I'm not going out that into the alley. We go right and I take him out the front. And when I walk him out that way. And I'm like, okay. He's like, he's behaving better. But I still like something's weird. And I'm sleeping on the couch. And then I'm talking to, shout out to Shin, the woman who cuts my hair. I'm talking to her. And she's like, how's Rummy? And I explain, like, he's been scared. He's been weird. And she goes, you know, maybe, and I can't believe she was right. She goes, maybe, you know, dogs can sense supernatural energy. He probably sensed supernatural energy that was like a dark force. And that scared him. And I'm like, Shin, I don't believe in any of that shit. There's no way. And then I'm thinking about it after we hang up. And I remember the night that this all happened, like right before I took him out right before the podcast and he kind of went crazy. We walk into the alley. And right as we walk out, I see like to my right, not to my left toward the street, but to the right, there's this guy who's walking. He's about to walk into the alley from the side. And all I see is this giant shadow of a man walking. And it looked like a horror movie. I know exactly what it is. I'm not frightened. But Rummy is staring intently at this. And I think, well, when this guy appears, just some guy, Rummy's going to start barking at him. So I kind of pull Rummy. And like pull him away, like let's go for a walk. And that's when he started running. That's when he started acting weird. And then when I brought him back into the alley, he was like, okay. And when he went to go back into the garage, I'm like, no, like you might poop. Let me pull you back out. And that's when he really freaked out. When he thought I was pulling him toward the back of the alley where he saw the shadow. Then I'm like, oh my God, I bet that's it. I bet that's what scared him. Because he was so intent on that. And then that started all the behavior. That ever since then, not only has he like been totally cool, not been scared. Like for a couple of days, he would like kind of look that way in the alley, but he was fine. But he has, and I swear, this is like the achievement of my life. He has started at night getting into his crate by himself when it's time for bed. And I just go and close the door. And he's been a perfect dog since then. I think the little guy got terrified by a giant shadow and has been an angel ever since. So,
Have you taken him back to it in the daytime and like given him treats so he's not like afraid of the alley? Like,
I haven't done that. I mean, I haven't done the treats in the alley thing, but I have like I've taken him into the alley and he's been fine. I mean, like today I took him out and there was like some weird homeless guy standing in the alley, like in like a little like a, there's like a little like doorway that sometimes people will like stand in there and like smoke a joint or take a piss. You get a lot of homeless people taking a piss in Hollywood. And there was a guy standing in there and we walked out. And Rummy's hackles went up and he started barking at that guy. But I was like, good. Like, you should bark at that guy. When like homeless people or like druggy people are around or weird and Rummy barks at them. There was another guy in that walk who was like stumbling wasted and tried to like pet Rummy. And Rummy lit him up too. And I was like, good. Any weirdo, I want you to have that energy that you go nuts. But he's been amazing. And it's been like four nights in a row that he's just gotten right in his crate. And I just closed the door. It's been wow. so good. So yeah, Rummy's been amazing.
What have you done about the ghost though? Like, how are you going to get rid of him?
He's gone. It was just that, and I've never seen that shadow look like that. Like the guy must have been walking in front of the light. Like there are lights all around there. I think he was walking like from another apartment or something, like nearby.
So you don't believe it was supernatural, like Shin? It could be like a Three Men and a Baby situation with the ghost in the background.
I think it was exactly a Three Men and a Baby situation, but not the way you're thinking about it. And that was actually like a gaffer or something standing that was in a reflection. Or no, I think it was like a cutout. It wasn't actually supernatural or a ghost. It was just some guy. Or something banal like a shadow, but I do believe like when I saw the shadow, when I remembered it, I was like, that must have been what scared him, because it would have scared a little kid if they had seen it. You know, it looked like from a monster movie where like Dracula's about to fucking appear, and Rummy's, you know, not even 2 years old yet, so he's gonna get scared sometimes. But he's been a dream ever since, pooping like a champ too. Just so you know, it was a rainy day today. Got up at like 8. And took Rummy out for a walk before it started raining. His dog walker canceled because she was like, it's raining. I'm not taking him to the dog park when it's pouring rain. So I was like, yeah, great. You have the day off. I'll see you tomorrow. And took him out for a nice walk, got some coffee, and then just sat inside, read a book that I will recommend later. Read the whole book today, just sitting in the rain. And went to the gym, ran through the rain to go to the gym because I'm a fucking champ and the rain won't stop me going to the gym twice a week. And read this book.
I like that though. Rain is like, it's such a big event. Like, we got 3 separate emails about how the drop-off procedure was going to be different for the kids at school and like everything that was changing, just like everything shut down.
Yeah, I don't lose my mind like some people in Los Angeles do, but you're excited for it because you never get it. Like, I was excited for my plants. I was excited to like to just sit and watch the rain and have like a nice rainy day. But Rummy was great, and the rain was great. Thankfully, we got it. I wish we get more. I wish we got lightning. Maybe someday soon. How was your week, Greg?
It was pretty good. You know, you got the it's like pumpkin patch season. We did a little bit of that. You know, you go get the pumpkins. You do some bouncy castles and stuff like that. They missed that. I feel like everything's jacked up the prices like double since the pandemic because they're like trying to make up for that last year, or you can't like it can't be quite as crowded. But you feel like you got to do it anyways to make up for what happened last year.
Like, how much is a pumpkin now? I have no idea.
The pumpkins are normal. It's more like you pay like $30 to get into this place just to like go down a couple slides and stuff.
Wait,
and you're
per person or for the family?
Per person.
You're kidding.
They have these all around LA and stuff where, you know, they got like the bouncy castles. You can do some, I don't know, paint your pumpkins or whatever, and a little petting zoo or something like that. But even then, you got to pay for the tickets to get to those once you're in it. But you don't care. You're happy to just like bring them anyone. After the last year, you just like feel like you have to like overspend this year or overdo everything this year.
You got to ball out of the pumpkin patch with the kids. I get that. I just thought the sideshow stuff was there to get you to buy pumpkins. I didn't realize it was a ticket and that was an event in itself.
No, it's big. It's big business.
Do you guys carve pumpkins? Do you get like the special knife?
I think we will
later
this week. I'm not like, you know, much of a carver, but I'll do some observing.
I think the knife is cool. They give you like they invented it when we were kids.
Those little ones.
Yeah, the little knife that's like got a curvy blade that like you can't cut anything, but it'll cut through a pumpkin. I think that's cool. I think roasting pumpkin seeds in the toaster oven is cool. My mom used to do that, so I think that's a good idea. Even though I will not have pumpkins or Halloween candy.
You know what I miss from the East Coast? And there's like, did you guys do this? The corn mazes, like when they would like harvest all the corn and then all the stalks would be left. They would cut out mazes and you would go through the corn mazes with friends at night and like have hot chocolate and like you'd be sprinting through the corn maze field and like get lost and play tag in there or like drink when you were in high school. Oh,
that's not an East Coast thing, Erica. That's a places where they have corn thing.
Oh yeah,
like it's not.
Well, not
like,
here, not LA. Then
they don't have corn here. They do. They did have like a little maze at the Halloween thing, but that
that's
was
true. There's
like
a
I
lot
said,
of
like $5, $5 for like a 3 minute, 3 minute maze there. You know what I have had a lot this week though, Anthony. Mm-hmm. It's like become a huge part of my life. Suddenly, is the Imagine Dragons. Just like.
Wait,
Walker has
album or something?
Walker has become like a huge Imagine Dragons fan out of nowhere. They played it like in his gym class. They played it on his baseball team, and he like recognized the song and like really loved it. Believer. All his friends like it now, and pretty much he just listens to about the same six songs by Imagine Dragon. I think they only have six, and listens to those all day every day.
I'm sure I've heard them. I don't know. I couldn't name an Imagine Dragons song. I keep thinking of Incubus, but I
no. They're very much like a rich man's Renner, and that takes a lot to say. But I do.
They're Vin Diesel. They're like Vin Diesel.
They are a little bit like Vin Diesel. I feel like Renner was definitely working out of the Imagine Dragons playbook. Like on one hand, like it's a lot. It's a lot of Imagine Dragons all the time. But on the other hand, it's pretty cute when Walker is just like walking around the house going like, and the thunder, you know that song, right? Thunder, I mean, thunder. That's all there is. It's the word. It's like on every terrible commercial ever.
But yeah, Imagine Dragons was put on this earth for commercials. Yeah. Like everything is like a commercial.
These are
tune.
Old songs, right? They didn't come out. It's not like, it's not something new.
Past couple years.
They're the last 5 years, probably, within the last few years.
Because I remember, like, when Ellis was first, growing up and learning to talk, she was really into Arcade Fire and would just keep saying, like, Revolver, like, making you, was it Revolver, the album? Or what was the album she would always ask you to play? And you guys got sick of that, and you love Arcade Fire, but I couldn't imagine, like, a band that you don't like and your kids getting into. I guess it beats Raffi and shit like that, but
Reflect,
like, what is your tolerance?
Reflector was the album.
Reflector, yes.
It's all fine because you see him singing it and then it kind of makes you happy. But it also makes me want to like drive off the side of the road.
Of course. But I'm saying like, let's say that when you first see that he's excited about it, I wish you wouldn't talk when I talk. What I'm asking you.
You are just delayed.
He's excited about a new band or music. I'm delayed because you keep interrupting me. My internet can only handle one person talking at a time, and it's the big dog right now. It's the first name in the title talking right now. The first time he hears it, and he's excited and you see that he's like really into new music, that's got to be a great feeling as a dad. And you, so you're at a 10. But then the more they replay it, the like you start to dip. You know what I mean? Where are you now number-wise, scale of 1 to 10?
I'm at like a 4 or 5, but I can go to 1.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're going to have to. Do you feel like it would help to introduce new music to him and hope that he picks up on that?
Yes, like I should do that
Dragons
more.
In Pandora
and once and I made like, the mistake like of once I made the mistake of like asking him to sing it, which like then he stopped singing it for a day. But then because that's what makes it tolerable. But it comes back. He forgets that.
Like he sings it, like he sings along with it, or he just sings it during the day. Like he's just got it in his head and he's got to get it out.
He sings along with it.
Okay, that's cool. Would you consider introducing him to karaoke? Like his people, like his ancestors would have wanted.
I don't think that's how it worked. That would be fun. We could do like a family thing. I think that it might be a family type of thing to do. You know, when we're in Tokyo, that would be good.
I say you like rent a machine or buy. I'm sure buying a karaoke machine.
They're
now
pretty
is very
cheap.
Yeah, for kids, and just put on some Imagine Dragons, put on some Arcade Fire, and let your kids sing to you. It would be fun. Well, your kids would love. If you and Emeka sang them songs.
We were at a celebration of our friend's life a few weeks ago, Tara Deeker, because all my friends have been dying this year. And they did some karaoke at this. And there was like this cool dad who kind of ran the whole celebration. And he and his son played like a song during the ceremony. But then during the karaoke portion of the evening, like they did Baby Got Back together as a son and dad. And because it's LA, like everyone who did karaoke at this thing was like incredibly good. Like his son was like, you know, a singer. And I just couldn't imagine a scenario where I would be doing like a really good rendition of Baby Got Back with my son and like what sort of pride that would fill me with.
I mean,
it's very strange.
When you said Baby Got Back, I just imagined trying to drag my dad on stage to sing Baby Got Back, and he would lose his goddamn mind. Like he would be, if you even played the song for him, he would get upset that the idea of being like, Dad, let's go do karaoke, it'll be fun, and then having them play Baby's Got Back would be his worst nightmare, which would be funny. What song would you sing if you could go up on stage with Walker and sing one song? What would you pick?
That's a good question.
Radioactive.
I think it's got to be Cats in the Cradle. I think you and your son singing Cats in the Cradle to each other would be fantastic.
I was trying to think of Renner's favorite song or best song, but it's been so long.
House of the Rising Sun. pull a cover out. That'd be dope. Imagine doing karaoke with Renner. Mm. I think your vocal cords would freeze out of fear, and you would just let him run with it. Speaking of freezing out of fear, did any of you guys watch Dune this weekend?
I did.
Did you watch it at home or in the theater?
I went to the theater.
See, I watched it. I watched it with a friend, and they hated it. They fell asleep.
I fell asleep in the theater.
Really?
Out cold.
The sound is so crazy. Like I liked the movie. I didn't know what the hell was going on half the time, but I enjoyed it. And I like if the what's I don't know how you say the director's name, Denis Villeneuve.
Denis, something like that.
He's great. Like if he hadn't directed it, I would have been unwatchable. I wouldn't have been able to do it. I remember once coming out to LA for the first time ever on spring break from Tulane because I was gonna like go like see if it was a place that I would want to live or like intern for a summer. And I stayed with a friend who went to art school in Pasadena. And I didn't realize that Pasadena is not LA. Pasadena is Pasadena, and I didn't have a car, so I was just like waiting on him. And he would go to art school all day, and I would get high. And try to watch the movie Dune. They had like the double VHS tape, like the David Lynch one. And I never got more than 10 minutes into the movie. I could not do it. But this I actually liked. But it's like every character, every line in the movie, every line of dialogue in the movie is whispered. And I'm not joking. They are all whispering to each other at all times. And then every sound effect, every like musical cue is the loudest goddamn thing you've ever heard. That I almost wish I'd watched it with subtitles at home. But I think it's truly meant to be seen in the theater that I might consider... I don't know if I would do that. I might consider going to see it in the theater. I think it would be way more enjoyable. That's how
you
it's
should.
Meant to be seen.
You
what
should.
What part did you fall asleep during?
It's so expansive, too. But everyone's like, oh, the cinematography is so beautiful. I was like, it's a fuck ton of sand. Like,
the way they frame everything, the costumes, and I never noticed costumes in movies or impressed by it, but I loved them. Like, the simplicity of the costumes I thought was great. And there's some great actors. I liked everybody. And I liked it more than I thought I would, considering it's only half a movie. But I think if I had been able to watch part two right after that, I would have done it. But I would definitely want to go see it in a theater. So I think when they do part two in like fucking 5 years or whatever, I would go see a double feature and watch them both back to back. But see it in a theater or watch it with subtitles, because you won't hear a goddamn word. And I couldn't tell you what anyone's name is, what any character's name is. They should have just gone by the actors' names and changed it. But I enjoyed it.
I fell asleep like 2 hours in, and like Zendaya had still not come into the movie.
She's not in it that much.
She was in every advertisement ever. So I was like, oh, like Timothée Chalamet is like, I don't know. He's just like a little baby back bitch to me, but maybe I'm just really negative.
I spent the first half of the movie trying to wonder if he's supposed to be a badass or not.
Right.
Like, is he supposed to be Timothée Chalamet, or is he supposed to be some like warrior god? You know, you don't really like know until the end, but I couldn't tell what they were going for with him. But in the end, I enjoyed it. And again, like the director is just amazing, that it's worth checking out. But if it's on HBO Max and the theaters, I'm watching it on HBO Max no matter
what.
No,
but that's so
like
wrong.
I loved the Suicide Squad. I know, but it's just so easy that I don't have to go out.
Yeah.
Especially like opening day, like Halloween. Like, I hate Halloween. I'm not doing shows this weekend because of Halloween. Like, I just don't want to mess with, I don't want to be out. It's not like the audiences are weird on Halloween. It's just, I don't want to have to drive to the Comedy Store on Halloween and deal with the traffic and assholes wearing costumes. Like, a guy walked out of Walgreens this past weekend as I was walking by. Like, a bunch of guys walked out in costumes, and the first guy out looks it's just a guy dressed up like a girl, but it looks like the sloppiest trans person you've ever seen. And then I realize it's like a joke costume. Like, he's not trying to be trans. He's like, he's a cheerleader, and they're on their way to a costume party. But until I saw like Dracula coming up behind him, I was like, what is going on here? Oh yeah, it's Halloween. And I hate it. I hate Halloween so much. So I will be sitting inside and watching horror movies.
Can I tell you weekend. Guys something? I was,
I think you're going to, no matter what I say.
Yeah. Jet and I were driving to a yoga class, and I like pulled up off of a side street to pull onto a main street, but there aren't really like street lights in this side street. And so as I pull up, out of the corner of my eye, I see someone in the crosswalk, and I like gasp because I'm like, holy shit, I'm gonna hit a person, because I was like, did not see them. And then in another instant, not only do I slam on the brakes and like gasp, then I realize it's a full Michael Myers mask and the blue or black jumpsuit, holding a backpack by himself. And it was like Thursday of last week. So I'm like, where are you going? Like, walking down La Cienega, scared the shit out of me because it's not Halloween yet.
It's funny. I was waiting the whole time to slam you for telling the story. But my friend texted me during this week and lives off of La Cienega and was like, I just saw a guy walking by himself in a Michael Myers mask in the full costume, like in the middle of the day. And like, she's like, I hate Halloween. Like, I hate it.
It scares
like,
the shit out of me.
That he must have been walking around all day. Yeah, that's not cool. I don't dig it. I don't like people and their bullshit on Halloween. And now it's time for, did we get any notes? No. Fuck yeah. That was some guitar.
I went digging today.
I dig it too. And now it's time for a place that we dig into every time. Sometimes with regret, sometimes we have a good time. It's Erica's Corner. Erica Tamposi is our producer. Long-time listener, first-time caller. She's around a lot. She's got like 8 podcasts now. She's trying to add another one to her resume. I had a friend ask me about a producer, and I slid Erica in there. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see how many episodes it takes until they regret that, until they're mad at me. But we like to let her carve out a little part of this podcast to plug her own podcasts if she likes. There are several now. And ask us a viewer email, do a quiz, whatever's going on. And I've got to say, most times, like, she'll run it by us in advance. This time, I have no idea what's coming down the pipeline. I truly have no idea what's going to happen or whether it's going to be good or not. So I'm excited. Erica, shine for us.
Okay, well, it will be good if you guys run with it versus not. So
when
I am reading...
Not?
Don't put it on us.
Well, when did we ever not run with it?
Okay. Okay. All right. So hear me out. So I am currently reading this novel that I cannot put down, and it's called The One, and they made a Netflix series about it, which totally tanked. So if you've seen it, don't even think about that. But this book, it's by John Mars, and basically it's all these different characters, and it's in this sort of dystopia future where every person on the Earth has a DNA biological match of a soulmate. So one couple are engaged and they're like, should we take it now that this is like a genetic match for your DNA? Should we find out? Another person is a serial killer and he's like, I'm going to take this test just to see. And he gets matched. So you're going through all these different people and them deciding to take this DNA match. There's like a 99% chance of it like being correct. Like it's 0.00001 that it's incorrect. And because of like distance, like one person goes to Australia or whatever. So Greg, you and Emeka have been together 12 years. If this comes out, I think I know your answer versus I think I know Anthony's. And I'm so fascinated by this because my girlfriend and I were talking about this and it's like, would we take it? And I think I would want to know if I'm with my soulmate, even though I'm super happy and committed and I want to marry this person. But it's like, would you take this test? And if so, like, what would you do with it?
It's a time like this that I feel like I really wish we were a video podcast that you could watch on YouTube.
Right.
Because, well, maybe you were listening to this and you're like, you're probably like hitting that fast forward button and
going 15
seconds to see if it's still going. And you got to hit it like 8 times. If you got to see the look on mine and Greg's faces while Eric explained the plot of, I think, another young adult novel, it sounds like, it would have been worth the price of admission.
Anthony's was totally good. I thought by the third Anthony sigh, she would have sped it up. I'm not totally even sure what that all meant or what it was. But I guess if I say yes, you're risking that the person you're with is not your soul, not finding out your soulmate or something. Well, I would just assume it's not. I mean, it's like there's 5 billion people in the world. So what are the odds there? I'm not taking it.
Do you think Emeka would want to take it?
No, she wouldn't give a shit. She would be like, of course he's not my soulmate. This is like number one out of 4 billion. And even I would be like, you know, what are the odds? I feel like signing up for this is basically just like asking for problems in your relationship.
Right, like, but you have a genetic match. Like you would, your soul, like your
but
soulmate.
This is, but there's like 4 billion people in the world, right, in this world, right? So it's
yeah.
Seems kind of silly. Like if you had a soulmate, how many lives would you have to live, just like statistically, before you potentially met that person?
Well, not with this test.
100 million, like 1,000.
But you know, I mean, you knew Greg even before you met Emeka. You knew in your heart of hearts that you were going to marry someone from Japan. Like you talked about it all the time. It didn't matter who so much.
I never dated anyone that was Asian or Japanese before this. I don't like this because there is this weird subculture of dudes who are just like into Japanese women or Asian women. But not true.
I was talking to an Asian woman who said if the guy wants to date her, she asks him immediately, how many Asian women have you dated?
Right.
And if the answer is zero, she's like, okay. But if it's like their thing, they don't. Do you think Emeka would take a test if it was like, how do you get a green card? Like in the quickest way possible? Do you think she would have done that and matched up with someone? I understand exactly what Greg is saying. I'm not going to argue with Greg on this. But Greg's basically saying you're asking for trouble. I love trouble. I would absolutely do this. And I would do it fully expecting to reject whoever matched with me. just to be a dick, just to be like, no, like, sorry, your soulmate's doing his own thing and go that route. I think it would be too tempting not to do. It would be too tempting not to take the test, but I would be happy to refuse it. I think it would be more romantic to be with someone and be like, actually, we both matched with other people, but we don't care. We'd rather be with each other than be with our one true soulmate, which is something I don't believe in at all. But in the world of this young adult novel that you've read, I think like if I was in junior high, I'd be like, oh, I wish that was a test.
Right. If I didn't have kids, like even if I was married without kids, then maybe you go for it. But at this point, it's like But what are we doing
I
here?
Also, they also say in this book that because it's like a genetic match, it's sort of like where you – in this sort of sci-fi world, there is like a genetic thing. Like there's this one guy – this isn't giving it away. It's like the first chapter.
It's okay to give it away.
Don't give it away. Don't spoil this for me.
Well,
I want to read the book while I'm watching the terrible Netflix series. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like, so you get it on a deeper level. I can't believe you're still explaining this concept.
I'm fascinated. And I said, if you guys ran with it, it'd be good. So listen, this one guy, he's engaged to a girl, and then he finds out his soulmate is a guy in the area. And Greg, most of the soulmates are in sort of your area because it's like, you know, nurture versus nature. Like if you grow up in Boston, like chances are your soulmate's probably in that area or some, you know, you frequent the same types of
it
bars.
It just also, like it kept production costs down too. It was just like, you know.
So it's a dating website. It's hot singles in your area.
So what? Is this like the sex is just like banging if you match or whatever? That's the main thing.
It's like a genetic.
It's just like off the charts.
It is a genetic pair. Like you have in this world, they've unlocked this gene that it is you are meant to be with this person. And I've been in a 3-year relationship, but I don't know if I could get married if I had like how you'd wake up every day being like, holy shit, like what if this isn't like. Like there is someone on this planet.
I mean, you know who I'm closest to on the planet genetically? My family, and we don't talk that much. I mean, the idea that like the DNA would tell me who I got to be with, but I honestly would take it just to not follow through with it. Like in the book, are there people
who
like
can
take it and then don't care and then are
no,
like,
because once they succumb to meeting them, and then once you're like. You meet your genetic match, it's like unlike anything else.
So you can't, so you it's like chemistry takes over.
Yeah,
and you're done.
It's like, it's biological.
Here's what I would do. I would find, if I had a crush, I would make the crush take the test and then go kill that person. You know what I mean? I'd be like the serial, I'd go kill that person and then be like, well, now it's me and you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, did they give you like a top three?
That's the sequel. That's like, nope. Don't give away season two. That's it right there.
I mean, it sounds like it could be interesting, but yeah, I would take it just to reject it. But I could see like, if it was a book for adults, it could be more
it
fun.
Is.
Like have a party where people, like everyone at the party takes the test and they see what's up and you got a bone. You got to bone whoever fails
really,
the test.
It's really good. The One by John Mars. Okay. Loving it.
And that was Choo Choo. And that was Erica's Corner. Shine on, you crazy waste of time. When you said quiz, I thought it was going to be like ask us questions, like multiple choice things or whatever. Like there was a quiz in the book that someone had to take to solve a riddle.
I thought so.
And
too,
not
yeah.
like, not here's a hypothetical from a science fiction.
Well, watch this. People are going to be talking about this question. It's such a conversation starter. And like you think about it when you really sit down and think about it, I bet you we will get tweets and like Reddit will be like, well, would you take it or what? I watch. Just watch. Now,
is that the goal of Erica's Corner?
That we have a meaningful conversation. Yes.
I'll tell you why people listen to this podcast. It's time for
Ad Copy.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Three in a row. Helix, they're back. I'm sitting right in front of my Helix mattress. I missed it when I was in London just a couple weeks ago. I really did that. It's a better mattress than at this nice 5-star hotel Erica and I stayed in. It was easy to get. Not in the same bed. You know, we had our own rooms. They were nice. It was easy to get. It's quick. You unbox it. You take it out. You order it. You don't have to go to a mattress store. It's all very simple. Helix Sleep also has a quiz that just takes 2 minutes to complete and matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. So why buy a mattress made for someone else? With Helix, you're getting a mattress that you know will be the perfect way for you to sleep. I mean, Anthony's got like his dog in the bed sometimes. Dog's out of the bed. But when he was fine in the Helix.
I'm going to get Rummy a Helix mattress just for himself. But I like the fact that there's like a DNA test you can take to find your one true mattress. You know what I mean? And if you don't like it, if you don't like the one true mattress, you can return it. You've got plenty of time.
That's in the third Is that the sequel? The sequel to the sequel? The three? Everyone's unique. Helix knows that. So they have several different mattress models to choose from. Soft, medium, and firm mattresses. Mattresses great for cooling you down if you sleep hot, or mattresses great for spinal alignment to prevent morning aches and pains. Even a Helix Plus mattress for plus size sleepers.
You know, why did you bail on the joke that could have just been the two, which would have been funny as the sequel, and went right to the three?
I blew it. Well, I thought the two that before.
The two was two.
Because I was talking about the sequel previously. The sequel was the sequel? Yeah.
Like it was a long walk just to like totally miss.
If you're looking for a mattress, take the quiz. Order the mattress that you're matched to, and the mattress comes right to your door, shipped for free. Helix was awarded the number one best overall mattress pick of 2020 by GQ and Wired magazine. Just go to helixsleep.com/JRVP. Take their 2-minute sleep quiz. They'll match you to a customized mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. They even have a 10-year warranty. You can try it out for 100 nights risk-free. They pick it up for you if you don't love it, but you will. Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners at helixsleep.com/JRVP. That's up to $200 off mattress orders and 2 free pillows at helixsleep.com/JRVP. Some of our favorites here.
Why are you like smiling so big?
You know, he does that for me. Plus, I'm looking at the copy for the Performance Package 4.0. Manscaped.
Oh, it's Manscaped.
Backed. You know, if have you smelled Manscaped's refined body wash?
Hell yeah. They say refined and you think like, oh, what does that mean? And then you rub it all over yourself in the shower or not if you don't want to. It's a rainy day, rub it all over yourself and go outside for a walk. It's refined.
Ladies love their signature scent. You and your boys will be oh so fresh, so clean.
Throw your Axe body spray in the trash right now and get this Manscaped refined stuff.
You'll be so fresh, so clean when you start off with your self-care routine with the ultimate body wash. I became a body wash, you know, person.
What'd you use before?
Maybe like, you know, like a bar of soap before I got married. You know, I just thought that's what a normal
bar
thing is.
Soap.
Yeah, you like grow up on, you know,
you
I don't
can't
know if
like get a lather of that. It's just like
you can get a lather. You can get a lather, but yeah, enough. That's you know, I changed and I'm much happier now, especially when I get the Manscaped body wash, refined body wash. The grooming game is really picking up with the Performance Package 4.0. Inside this package, you'll find the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer. That'll help old guys like me out. Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, Performance Boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold all your goodies. Fourth generation, Anthony. We've been here through all the generations of the lawnmower.
You know what the second best male grooming tool is? There isn't one. It's Manscaped or nothing. It's Manscaped or it's like just some guy who comes to your house.
I thought you were going to say like the 3.0 because I still got that in the back of the closet just in case.
You know what the Manscaped 0.0s, they're like iPhones for me. When the new one comes out, the old one stops working as well. You know what I mean? It's like you got to upgrade. It's like I want to be able to use the camera feature.
Seal the deal with Manscaped's liquid formulations, their Crop Preserver ball deodorant before leaving the house, and Crop Reviver ball toner.
What if there was a Crop Preserver ball deodorant maze? Would you run through that, Erica?
Definitely.
Only on the East Coast. That's where they got them. Manscaped even threw in 2 free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0, the boxers, the shed travel bag. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code JRVP at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code JRVP at manscaped.com. Keep your balls trimmed, fresh, and cleaned with Manscaped. And finally, this JRVP.
Before you go into this one, before you go into this last one, I think that what's cool to do with the Manscaped products, because, I mean, they're universal. It's not just in the private use of your home. I like to take the bag that they give you, the travel bag, because I've got several versions of the Manscaped. I got 2.0, 3.0, 4.0. I like to take the travel bag and use it for other things. Bring it to a business meeting and put it down on the table and, like, pull a pencil out of it. Just let people know that you're repping Manscaped 24/7. Know that if you did get naked, it would look great. You know what I mean? It's almost, I wish they had a Manscaped backpack that it came in. You would carry it around. I wish the Manscaped, like 5.0, would be huge, would be almost novelty sized so I could get a backpack.
It says something about you as a person. They see you using that bag and they know that you
that I'm the one true together. I'm the one true soulmate. They know it.
There has never been a better time to become a programmer. And with Codecademy.
Codecademy.
You can learn to code on your own terms. Whether you're starting from scratch or looking to advance, Codecademy.
Codecademy.
Can help you reach your goals. Your coding goals. Learning to code, it might be the easiest way to change your career. Like if you're just at an endpoint or you just want to change, they're always looking for coders. Codecademy. Can help you out. Simply put, Codecademy. Is the best way to learn to code online. They not only teach you job-ready coding skills, but help you build unique projects for your portfolio, earn certificates, even prep for technical interviews. That's very helpful. Like, no one helps you learn how to interview. People are terrible at interviewing. This would be great. Look, you can get qualified for in-demand jobs in as little as 2 months. No matter what your experience level, you'll be writing real working code in minutes, learning coding languages, including Python, SQL, JavaScript, and more. Not sure where to begin? Codecademy. Will point you in the right direction. You get instant feedback. It's interactive. You build a portfolio. And again, you get a certificate of completion that makes you more marketable to future employers. Join the millions of people learning to code with Codecademy. And see where coding can take you. Get 15% off your Codecademy Pro membership.
Codecademy.
When you go to Codecademy.com. And use the code JRVP. That's promo code JRVP at Codecademy.com to get 15% off Codecademy Pro, the best way to learn code. CodeCademy.com. Promo code JRVP.
And that was
ad copy.
Correct edition. And now, let's get to headlines. Okay, now I got a hypothetical for you guys, for the listeners at home, for Greg, for Erica. Let's say someone came up to you on the street and was like, do you want to know how you're going to die? I can tell you how you're going to die. Would you say yes or no? Like, I want to know, or would you say I don't want to know?
I don't want to know.
Yeah, I would say I don't want to know.
Okay. Let's say they're like, it's you want to know this. It's extra special. And you can ask follow-up questions. Would you say, okay, you convinced
okay.
me.
Okay, I'm in.
Okay, let's okay. do it. Now let's say they say, all right, here's how you're going to die. Alec Baldwin's going to kill you. Imagine your surprise. Like if someone's like car accident, you know, plane crash, heart attack, you'd be like, okay, let me be worried. I'm worried. Alec Baldwin's going to kill you would be a game changer because you wouldn't have questions. You know what I mean? Like you'd be like, why? And then the person's like, no reason at all. Like, is he mad at me? No. You guys are totally cool. You're just at work doing your job, and he's going to kill you. I think that's like a pretty good way to go. Of all the Baldwins that could kill you, Alec is by far the best. If William Baldwin killed you, that's going on your tombstone. You're going to be embarrassed. But Alec Baldwin is maybe the best one. And if they're like, oh, so Alec Baldwin's going to kill me? Does he go to jail? They're like, nope. People feel bad for him after he kills you. He's gonna be fine. He's gonna be sad, but he's gonna be okay. I think that would be amazing.
It's like, weirdly might be him. Good for Alec Baldwin in the long run.
There's no way it's good for him. There's no way it's good for him. Read the headline, Greg. I wanted to get my bit in. But go ahead.
I mean, I think it could be good in a weird way. Not, I mean, I do feel bad for him. And I don't like to admit it. Sometimes I'm just like the average, you know, JRVP listener. I see a story. I wanted to hear Anthony's take on it. And I enjoyed that. And that was definitely the case, you know, when Alec Baldwin shot a prop gun on his latest movie, inadvertently wounding the movie's director and killing, the cinematographer. Or
it's crazy. It's a The Crow situation. I do feel bad for him. I've been on sets with guns. And everyone is insanely careful that I'm shocked this happened. It's a The Crow situation. Erica, do you know about The Crow?
Mm-mm.
When we were kids, Brandon Lee, the son of Bruce Lee, was filming the movie The Crow. Oh, and during one of the last days of shooting, he got shot by one of the actors. Like, it was during a scene. It was like they have it on film and they don't use it, obviously. This Alec Baldwin thing, the cameras weren't even rolling. It was a rehearsal. He didn't even mean to shoot. He just lifted up the gun and it went off, which happens a lot with guns. Gun safety is important. But the guy who shot Brandon Lee never got over it. He died a couple years ago, and his obituary was like, he acted still after that, but he was just miserable. He was just in so much pain that he killed someone that I feel terrible for. Even seeing those pictures of him reacting to it, I felt bad. And of course, you feel awful for the victim here. But I think everyone on that set is a victim. People talk about the assistant director or the prop master or the weapons person who was supposed to be in charge of that. It's insane that they got away with this. And now people are saying like, oh, let's ban guns from movies altogether. That's not going to happen. But there's no reason to ever have live ammunition on a set ever. So I'm shocked that this happened, but I do think people feel bad for him. I think honestly, and also this might be controversial, I think that people feel worse for Alec Baldwin than they do for the woman who died, because they know Alec Baldwin. You know, you followed him. It's like he's got survivor's guilt at this point. And yeah, the woman who died, tragic, but no one really knew her. I mean, I feel bad for the person, but I think the public will feel terrible for him. I don't know if you can like see him on screen after this and not think about that. Like, he can't do a comedy after this. I don't know what he's going to do. And they're like, oh, we're going to pause filming for a while. It's like, no, that movie is never going to see the light of day. That money is gone. And I don't know when he acts again. I couldn't imagine looking at him in a commercial or on SNL or anything and not think about that.
Well, he was a co-producer of the movie. It sounded like a pretty integral part to getting it made. I found all this material on it today because, of course, I read everything about it the first day, but then I've kind of ducked out and wasn't paying attention to all the updates to the story. And there are a lot of them, most of which are critical of how slapdash this production was. Guy, you know, there's one in the LA Times of a guy turning down the job because he thought it was so clearly amateurish that they were hiring like super last minute when you should have like weeks and weeks to prepare, that you were combining like two jobs into one. And he just thought the whole thing was like doomed to have a problem. Other people on the set who have had, like another guy who was in control of the weapons, who was literally fired off his last or a previous movie for unsafe practices with guns, and someone was shot on his previous movie. Like, there's a lot there.
Sure, but things like that happen all the time. Like in movies, it's like, oh, it's sloppy, they're throwing the crew together. That means we're going to get yelled at because we got to make the day. We've got to like work behind schedule. Everyone's miserable. They're working crazy hours. No one gets killed on these things. Like the deaths on movie sets are very rare. It's usually a stunt person or just some horrible, crazy accident, like that train accident that happened a few years ago. But I think, you know, change has to happen for sure. But it's just, I mean, I've never heard of something like this. Like during a rehearsal, it's just crazy. And a star actor doing it is totally bonk shit. But yeah, it's a problem. That's why I don't do movies. You know, people ask me, Anthony, why aren't you a movie star? That's the reason. I don't want to fuck with that shit. But
I mean, it's crazy that he's like wearing like Western. You know, they said that he's wearing his kind of Western style clothes, and they were, you know, stained with blood, according to the sheriff's office, and like that was part of the evidence. It's like Alec Baldwin's blood stained Western shirt. I don't know. There's something about it.
Imagine you accidentally shoot someone and you're like, I mean, my first thought seeing the pictures of him, like, all, like totally upset outside the police station, was like, God, that his hair looks cool. Like, whoever did hair and makeup nailed it. Like, his beard looks cool. His hair looks cool. I hope I look as good as Alec Baldwin when I'm that age. But just pure misery on his face. I mean, I can't even imagine doing it. I'm uncomfortable with guns in general. I've never, actually, on the Jeselnik offensive, on the final episode, I had to shoot a prop gun and kill Jesus Christ, played by Steve Agee. And he had a squib and everything in his chest, but it was like, nothing came out of that gun. I think it made a noise, but it didn't. And people tested it many, many times.
I thought a prop game gun is fake. Like, I didn't realize they're all different
kinds of prop guns. I don't know how. And they were like, the thing that fascinates me is they're trying to find out if someone was disgruntled on set and put real bullets in the gun. As a thing to do, but there was
all this drama of walkouts and people were upset, and there were two accidental shootings on the set already, which totally seems crazy. misfires, you know, not and stuff. Yeah, misfires. Obviously, it didn't hit anyone or anything like that. But I do disagree in terms of like which Baldwin I would, you know, would be the best. Hilaria.
Hilaria's not bad, but imagine her like screaming over your body as you're going cold. Like how awful that would be to hear the accent.
I don't think that would be
as good. But yeah, I feel bad for the guy. I truly do. I feel bad for everyone. But there's a lot of people on that set who will never ever work again, that are done from the business. Like the amount of people who are willing to go out and talk shit immediately. Like the director who's like from the hospital bed is talking about this is crazy. No one's like giving it room to breathe. Everyone's just jumping on. And I think it was truly probably just an accident. I don't know how that accident ever happens on a set, or why you need to even have anything like a real gun on a set like that when CGI is so easy. But yeah, that's
there's something that's what like happens. So old Hollywood about it though too. Like Alec Baldwin has had one of those lives and careers that like, I don't know, do Hollywood actors still have that sort of like career? You know what I mean? That he seems like this just feels like an old Hollywood thing that would have happened, or scandal. He has had the most insane life already, and for this to be like added to it, I don't know, it's just insane.
Oh, truly. But I don't, I don't remember Alec Baldwin ever firing a gun in any other movie that I've ever seen. I can't think of it. So maybe he just didn't know what was going on. But like, I mean, look, watch a John Wick movie, and you can't believe that if this was a possibility that it wouldn't happen on one of those. Or like the fact that no one died making Mad Max Fury Road, and then someone dies doing fucking Rust. But if this movie got released, would you watch it? If they end up finishing the film, which I cannot believe they would ever do. Mm-hmm. Like I went to see The Crow opening. I was all about The Crow. I probably saw it multiple times. I'm sure I owned it on VHS. I read the comic book. Like I got really into it after this because I was a Brandon Lee fan, and just thought it was like the most insane thing ever, that I can't believe that 20 some years later it's happening again. So Alec Baldwin, you are the JRVP Listener of the Week.
That'll really cheer him up. It'll all be worth it.
I'm doing it for him.
Our next story, a little lighter, thankfully. It's about a woman who decided to have a baby with a sperm donor instead of her longtime boyfriend.
Well, I did not read this story. I love it. I love it so much. But what was the sperm donor? Another like someone else she knew, or she just went to a sperm bank and got a random person?
Random.
Okay, that's better than what could have been. If it was like, hey, I love you, I want to have a baby, and I want you to help raise the baby, but I don't want it to look like you at all. I don't want that. So I'm gonna ask my friend Greg to kick in here. I hope you don't mind. What was her reason? And how do they even know about this? Like, who told people that this was? It must have been the boyfriend.
There's a lot more there, and I wanted to leave it simple because I had a feeling you hadn't read the entire story. It came out because he posted on Reddit about it, and people couldn't believe it, and they started kind of unspooling all the details about it, and it was pretty wild. Basically, the boyfriend is like furious.
So
right
he wanted now. He wanted to have a baby with her.
No.
He wanted to, okay.
He basically, they've been together for 10 years. The kid is now 6 years old. They had been together for 4 years or so, just doing the math, you know, at the time.
Wait. Let me check. Okay. Yeah,
well,
you're right.
Yeah, it's just like, well, the pregnancy, so maybe three and a third. He was really – he apparently was noncommittal about, you know, whether he wanted to have a baby or not. And so she just went and got pregnant, and he's been taking care of the baby since day one. Like,
did he know?
I can't believe they're still together. That's the craziest part to me, that he'd be like, yeah, all right. Like, so she didn't just go out and just do this and then say, I went and did this, I'm pregnant. She was like, if you're not in, I'm going to go to a sperm bank. And he was like, okay, like, I'm into it. Or did she surprise him?
I don't know. But he says he's been taking care of him since day one, but that because, you know, it's not his baby, that she doesn't let him have any input or criticize like her methods. And he basically is saying like that she's like a really bad mom, and he's trying to like help out in saying like their child can do whatever she wants. Like, you know, she's so free that she believes a child should do whatever she wants. So she can like eat only jelly beans for breakfast, or she can stay up past midnight. And he's like, I'm trying to explain to the kid, you know, why you can't just be on my computer. And, you know, the wife was like, no, you don't have any rights to do that. It's not your your baby.
Then, you know, I don't blame her at all. Like, this sounds like the girlfriend's crazy. She went and did this. I blame the boyfriend for sticking around for even a second. Because once you're there for 6 years, you can't leave. You can't leave that kid alone with this woman. You've got to be there. You are her dad in her, in the kid's eyes. I assume it's a daughter?
Yeah, it is. And that's different than most of the reaction on Reddit was just like, that's not your kid, bro. Sorry to let you know, but you don't have any rights. Which I disagree with. I'm with you that at this point it's too late. You got to stick around. But he heard his girlfriend. He overheard her telling the daughter that the dad like still needs to earn the parent title. That like you don't have to like listen to him. That he still has to earn it. And he says he broke. And that's when he started posting about it.
She told the daughter not to listen to him. The person that she shares a house with. That is insane. I think if you change one diaper, you can make that kid do whatever you want. I've never changed a diaper in my life, but if I did just once, if it was like some random person was like incapacitated and their kid had to have the diaper changed, that's my kid now. I get to tell it when to go to sleep. Right now is when you go to sleep. But yeah, I think that I don't know. I think, I mean, you can't take her to court. Like, they're not married, so he has absolutely no rights in this. That must drive him completely insane. And I love that, like, after it took him 6 years to snap and go on Reddit and talk.
Right.
That was him like letting it all out. I wonder if she finds out that he did this and went on Reddit. I'd love updates on the story. I'd love to know if she finds out and gets mad at him for embarrassing her in some way. But I don't know. I feel like the story's going to get out in his life, that his friends must know. Somebody in his life must know that's not his kid and must drive him crazy.
How could it not? I also, you know, at first I'm with you. It seems like it's his fault for sticking around. On the other hand, like, you can't really criticize how any mom takes care of their kids anyways, whether you have the right, you know, whether it's your kid or not. You know, you kind of
got to
tread lightly. You got to tread lightly. You got to tread lightly with...
If you're there from day one, even if, like, let's say she got pregnant by an ex-boyfriend and then she meets him and it's like, I'm pregnant. He's like, okay. He's helping her through the pregnancy. I'm sure he didn't just, like, take 9 months to go, like, chill and then came back and just, like, we needed a place to stay. I'm sure he, like, loves her. So if you're there from day one, that's partly your kid, even if it's not your DNA. I think he totally has a right to say it. And not only a right, but, like, a biological need to be there. He can't just leave. His heart would break if he left because he'd just be thinking about what's going on with the kid. That's biological manipulation of him. That, like, in his soul, he cannot leave that kid alone. That he's got to hope she dies. He's got to hope she. He's got to hope the mom dies.
I mean, the irony is, he seems like he's a pretty good dad, and she should have just given her his sperm. I don't know if that was the issue back then. He wasn't sure about it.
Even if not, even if you're just like, you know what, I'm not comfortable with this, but I will help you with the baby for as long as we're together. But you've got to respect me and let me, you know, set some ground rules if we're living in the same house. You got to hope that she, you know, this woman, you know, takes a job as a cinematographer on the next Alec Baldwin movie.
All right, Anthony, you often say on this show... You often say you aren't into kink shaming, but what if that kink lands you in jail?
That's right.
A man known as Peacock Birdman was convicted of sexual battery after kissing the buttocks of unsuspecting sunbathers in San Diego recently.
That's not a kink. Like, sexual assault or sexual battery is not a kink. you can't be like, oh, I kissed the butts of unsuspecting sunbathers on nude beaches. That's my thing. You can't get mad.
I don't think they were nude beaches. I think they were just normal beaches. And it's just really? Like he's kissing thongs and stuff, you know, or you know, bikini bottoms. Yeah.
So he walks around.
I mean, how many nude beaches are there in San Diego anyways?
I mean, if it's your thing to kiss naked, to kiss butts, I would think you would figure out, you would Google that and then go to them. But
I think it was a normal, I'm pretty sure it was a standard San
where
Diego
was this
beach.
San Diego? Oh
yeah.
I wonder how many he got before they arrested him. Like, was this his first day doing this, or was he like a serial butt kisser?
Well, he was out on parole for doing it 2 years previously in La Jolla, kissing butts.
He must have, for 2 years, he must have been grinding his teeth, just being like, oh, I got to kiss those butts. Oh, no. Oh, it's summer again. This is the worst. You got to move somewhere cold, bro. If that's your thing, move somewhere cold. Because you can't be doing that. He deserves to be locked
up. It's rough because it is sexual assault, and it would be horrifying, I'm sure, for any woman. Like, that would be the worst nightmare. You're lying there and something like that happens. On the other hand, like, just the phrase kissing buttocks, you know, it seems so silly. It seems so silly.
No one has ever pronounced the word like that. No one has ever pronounced the word buttocks like buttocks. Like, it's like you wanted to say buttocks and Botox at the same time and you confused them. I don't want to.
It's like, don't you think his defense in like during the trial or whatever was just like, oh, you know, it's just kissing some butts. You know, it's
my thing. Just like kissing a little. Your Honor, it's my thing. I don't want to victim blame here. I don't like when people victim blame, but I will say that women, you know, back in the day used to be a little more modest, and they would only tan lying on their back. And I think that's what you got to do. I think, you know, if you turn over on your stomach, you're asking for it. You're asking for someone to kiss your butt. But if you're laying there, like, that's why, like, if you know a woman is like, you know, a woman was raised right if she's only tan on one side of her body, because, you know, she's not going to tempt fate flipping over at the beach. What do you mean that's so stupid? You've never seen a woman who's only tan on one side? Because they wouldn't be like, put themselves in a position to let a guy kiss their buttocks on the beach. I mean, does he look? I want to know what his method was. What he looked
for? It's every woman's right to be on either side.
No. You know what I'll grant you? If you're with a guy and he can protect you, you can lay on your side. But you can, if you lay down on your stomach on the beach, you're asking for it. I want to know if he just walked around looking for like the hottest butt to kiss, or he was like, find a woman who's by herself so he can maybe get away with it. Because I can't imagine going up to a group and hoping that they like you get three before they turn around. Because have you ever been to the beach? Like laying down on your stomach, getting a tan, and you feel something kissing your
butt.
You just don't. You don't even turn around. You don't even. You just like you. But like by the third or fourth kiss, you're like, wait, what's that? What was that? Are you kissing my butt on the beach? I mean, did he get busted as soon as he did it, or were some people just like, get out of here, man? That's weird. Or like, did they laugh and be like,
this has to be one of those like. If you get arrested twice for kissing butts on a beach, you've probably done it 250 times, I feel like.
I don't think so. Who lets him get away with it?
You just kiss and run. You kiss and run,
no.
I guess.
The people would lose their minds. You would chase someone down for kissing your bare butt on the beach, for sure. That he must have found women who were by themselves and would like see if they were asleep, like count the seconds like since they last moved, and then try to kiss it like gently and get out of there.
But it's tough because I live near the beach, you know, and
tough for
you. I know why.
It's just like you just walk by and, you know, there's all these butts and you look at them and they're just like, kiss me. You know, that's what everyone's thinking.
do the butt voice again. Do the voice of the butt.
Well, this is what gets Greg fired.
Do you know the guy's name?
Well, he was known as Peacock Birdman, which was a very wild detail.
No one's known as that. That may have been like a message board name, but there's no way people are like, here's my friend Peacock Birdman. He's cool.
I think he was like one of those guys that was just like around the beaches, you know. There are those guys and they're almost like characters, and I think people knew him as Peacock Birdman.
So he went and tried to stealth kiss butts. Dressed up like someone that you would call Peacock Birdman, that everyone would call him that. Like, how are you getting away with it? It's not like he's like jumping out of the sand like he's in Dune and kissing a butt and diving back into the sand and running away. He's Peacock Birdman. Like, hey, did you see who kissed your butt? He was dressed like a peacock. I don't know who that was. I've never seen him. That guy.
I do have some more info. It was a lone sunbather. It was Pacific Beach, a popular beach in San Diego. His name was Keith Rogers. He was 48, but he was known as Peacock Birdman. Keith Rogers. And he was out on parole for kissing butts like 30 miles up the shore in La Jolla. It's not funny.
Do the voice one more time, and we'll move on to the next story.
Kiss
do the butt
me.
Voice.
Kiss me.
What would a guy's butt sound like?
Kiss me.
Oh.
God, put Greg in jail with that guy.
You seriously?
Ooh, why do I feel like I'm going to hear from my mom about
HR?
That one? Yeah, that too. We could take
Isn't that
out.
How your mom and dad met?
Our next story could have happened to anyone, but thankfully happened just to this one guy in England. He was sitting in his backyard in Windsor, England, when a plane overhead discharged an incredible amount of sewage, aka shit, all over him and his garden.
Oh, so was he sunbathing? Was he like laying out, or was he just sitting there?
It sounded like he was just sitting there. Like, it said it got all over his like garden umbrella. They really emphasized how like all of his like umbrellas out there got ruined too by all the shit. But yeah, he was just sitting there.
I mean, I think this would be tough because a part of you wants to take this to your grave. Part of you wants to never tell anyone that this happened to you. But then you also want money from the airline. You got to go public. That, I mean, luckily it was just one guy. Do you think he ever laughs about this? Like, whatever in his life, do you think he would ever get to a point where he's like, oh yeah, it's funny. Like, yeah, laugh it up. Like, I'm in on the joke now. Or do you think he gets
Never.
Furious anytime someone talks about it?
Because I think so. I think you would have to. I think it depends on the person. If you're the type of person that can find the humor in things, I feel like I'm one of those people. I think I would laugh about it eventually.
Listen,
I got shit on by a bird recently.
Yeah, that's not the same. It's not the same. Think about how fast that shit was coming down. Think about, like, it must have hurt. Ugh. Like, if you get shit on and it hurts you, then you will never get over it. Like, and it covers your house and your garden. Like, everything's ruined. You can't even go. You can never go outside again without multiple umbrellas. That guy's poncho for life.
You know what's crazy is he didn't get any money from it.
You're kidding.
Somehow it's like. I don't know that the chart. I don't understand why he didn't get any money for it, but he doesn't. He didn't because of the laws there. It was like it's frozen sewage apparently, but then it like melts as it's, you know, because it hits the air temperature, and then.
Is this like a regular thing?
They said it happens like semi-regularly, but not like falling on people, but just like that some sort of, it doesn't happen too often, but that some sort of accidents happen that something like falls out of a plane. But usually it's like frozen or it's like vacuum sealed, so it doesn't create any problems. But in this case, it's just like you got shit on lots of shit.
I have heard this does happen. It does occasionally come out of planes and people rarely get hit by it. But imagine like calling the airline and then being like, no, it's cool.
Yeah.
Like, did they even send someone to clean it up? Or they're just like, listen, get some Clorox, and if you ever want to fly the friendly skies again, let us know. Maybe we'll give you a free pass to the VIP lounge. Like, I would think that's free flights for life, just for the ads, just for the word of mouth. Why would you ever? I guess you would still fly the airline though. You wouldn't not buy tickets on Pan Am. Also, I'll make up a airline that's no longer around, so we don't get in trouble. We don't lose that sweet Delta ad money coming down the pipe. later on this season, if it's Pan Am, like I'd be just as likely to buy a ticket for that airline. I just wouldn't want to be like live near an airport
under it,
or yeah, under the airline.
Yeah, he lived near an airport. Maybe it's just like the UK isn't as litigious, or the laws are different. Because basically, he said he couldn't claim any insurance money because then his premiums would have gone up. And I'm like, well. Yeah, no shit. Like, who has, like, shit falling from the sky insurance? That doesn't surprise me. Why aren't you suing them?
Why would his premiums go up? Like, that's going to happen again. Like, it might be a pattern where this is going to happen to you all the time.
That's what he said. He said it wasn't worth it because the damages were low. Like, he was trying to claim the damages of, like, whatever the shit did to his umbrellas or whatever. He was really talked about, like, he had a nice garden with these garden umbrellas, and yeah, and he emphasized the shit was not frozen, it was regular sewagey shit.
I mean, if someone, like, Just kidding. If you've got like a little piece of shit like on your arm while you're standing outside, that's $1 million as far as I'm concerned.
I would be scarred for life.
Like, of course. Like, I was with Rummy when I walked Rummy right before the podcast. We were walking around. Like I told you, he barked at like a homeless guy in the alley. And then as we're coming back around, right about to get back into my apartment, there's like a new restaurant open near me. And there's a security guard who's just like in the area, who's protecting like the restaurant, a bank, like there's a dry cleaner there. He just kind of stands around and makes sure homeless people don't pop off. And there is like a homeless guy who's clearly high, like high as hell. And he's like lurching. He's like totally like looks like a zombie on for Halloween. And he's clearly fucked up on some kind of drugs, is filthy. And he like comes up and the security guard, as I'm walking by, is just filming the guy like with his phone. I guess like just in case something goes down, like he can show the police like what he was doing. And the guy tries to like talk to Rummy. He's like, he's already hunched over and he's like trying to like reach his hand out. And Rummy lights that guy up. And I pull Rummy away and I look at the security guard and we both kind of laugh. We both kind of smile like, man, this guy is totally wasted. And then as I'm walking away, the guy tries to go into the restaurant. And I hear like, and I'm just like, I'm getting out of there. I assume the security guard's going to grab him and throw him out. And all of a sudden I hear the security guard go, hey man, you got to go. What did you wipe on my hat? The guy turned around. He must've just turned around, seen the security guard and just wiped something on the guy's hat. And it's just like security hat. But the guy just starts screaming, get me a cup of water. Get me a cup of water. And I'm just like dying laughing. As I took Rummy home. So imagine if somebody wiping something on your hat would lead to whatever this ended up being. Imagine just shit raining down on you in your backyard. If you weren't home at the time and this happened, maybe you're like, okay, it's not worth the insurance. But if you're there, you would never live this down. I don't know why he told anyone, why it's in the news. Did he think maybe the press would pressure the airline to give him something? I don't know. But he'll never laugh about this. Never.
Finally, in the news, Royal Caribbean announced some exciting news this week with the launch of their Serenade of the Seas cruise. This is a 9-month cruise, believed to be the longest cruise ever, that hits all 7 continents, 150 locations, in 65 countries.
Is this the longest cruise ever? Like, I've never heard of something this long. I don't know if they've done like year-long ones. How many people get to go on the cruise? Does it say?
I could probably find that for you, but I don't know off the top of my head.
Because I would.
It costs the starting price of how much this costs is $60,000, and that's the starting price. So I can't imagine. That's nothing.
$60,000 to live for 9 months, like on and see the world, isn't bad. But I want to know, like, if it's like, is it 20 people? You know what I mean? Or like, is it hundreds of people? Is it families going on this thing? Because I would rather get shot by Alec Baldwin, raise someone else's baby and not have any say in it, have someone kiss my butt while I'm on the beach, and then have an airplane drop shit all over me and my umbrellas, then go on a cruise, even for a week, much less
really?
9 months. Because, listen, it sounds great to see the world. But imagine you get on that cruise. Imagine, Greg, you get on that cruise and someone's like, hey, I'm a big NFL fan. You're like, fuck, I got to avoid this guy for 9 months. If I walk on and someone's like, hey, I like your comedy. I'm like, fuck, I've got to avoid this person for 9 months. You can't just enjoy yourself on a cruise because you don't know who's going. If they had a guest list and you got to see who's going to be there and who wasn't, maybe. But there's definitely going to be fights on this cruise. Someone's going to die through sheer just like annoyance of having to kill someone. I couldn't imagine. $60,000 doesn't bother me at all for a 9-month cruise around the world because you do get to see the world.
But I mean, that's like the starting price. It sounds
sure.
like probably
there must be VIP things and other stuff.
Yeah, basic
cruises are my worst nightmare. Just vacation wise, I used to think about them a lot because I fly so much for work that like after a tour, the idea of just stepping onto a boat and then I'm on my vacation sounds so nice. You don't have to fly at all. But I couldn't imagine. Like Emeka took Ellis on a cruise to Alaska. That was what, like a couple days?
No, they did a day cruise there, but they didn't really do a cruise. They stayed at a friend's house.
A day cruise to Alaska?
I mean, it wasn't, no. She didn't take a cruise to Alaska. She stayed in Alaska and they did some sightseeing, but they didn't.
They fly to Alaska or they take a boat?
Yeah, they flew to Alaska.
Okay.
And stayed
I had this totally wrong.
They have those Alaska cruises
right.
though.
Sure. I would do like a short one. Sounds kind of nice, especially, I mean, if it's all old people and you're old, like I kind of get that. But if it's like young people and families, how would you ever sign up for 9 months of not knowing who you have to hang out with for that?
Well, or there's no situation where that's like the right mix of people. There is no right mix of people for me to be with for 9 straight months on a cruise ship. I'm with you. I mean, like this pandemic just happened. It's like, oh, it's in the advertising is saying like make up for lost time. You missed all this traveling time. It's like the last thing I want to do after a pandemic is be trapped on this like small ship. And it's not small. I was looking for how
They're
many people
massive.
Are on it. It's like the biggest ship possible. So I think it's, you know, it's thousands upon thousands. And there's probably a lot of people that are just hopping on for parts of the 9 month cruise. You can get away with that. But some people are doing the whole thing, like staying in the same place with the same people. I don't know, for 9 months. Maybe I'm wrong, but it seems like the worst way to see the world. Like, I get that you're hitting 150 locations. First of all, that sounds pretty busy for 260 days. Like,
at least you would know
work.
At least you would know you got 9 months without having to hang out with anti-vaxxers, because I guarantee you have to get vaccinated to be on this thing. I mean, like, if you people get off the boat wherever they go. I mean, we haven't talked about COVID and this, but for the next 9 months, you think it's going to get better? I do not. And being on a cruise for 9 months, when does it start? Do you know?
It doesn't start till next December, I don't think. They're planning it way ahead of time.
Yeah. I Erica, would you ever consider this?
I would if like money wasn't an like if I could take a year off from work and like my life could stay the same, number one. So I wouldn't like give up stuff for that. Two, if like 20 of my best friends were there and it's like you're going to the casino and then you're getting off in all these different cities, like the idea of traveling to 150 places, and then like these cruise ships have like movie theaters and bowling alleys and lot, but it would have to be like enough of my friends and my like life couldn't get fucked up from it, then I would consider it. But still,
but
probably
you're
not.
But you're seeing it with the cruise ship. You're seeing the deals that the cruise ship can procure at each one of those locations, which every location is like, shit, we've got it's the types of places that are welcoming the cruise ships. Like, shit, we got to deal with this cruise ship arriving today. And then you like are off the boat and then you're getting back on the boat and that's your 6 hours of Naples or whatever the fuck, which
well,
is,
maybe
seems
it's more
like
than
the
that
worst.
If it's nine
the worst.
Months, like maybe it's a few days.
I hope, yeah. I hope, if the, you know, I'll tell you this, the one good thing that come out of this, if they put a writer or a journalist on the boat and they write a book about how awful it is, I would read the shit out of that book.
Yeah.
You wouldn't read someone's diary of being on a 9 month cruise with a bunch of assholes. Imagine if Smash Mouth is on the cruise. You know what I mean? If they're like, oh, with tonight's entertainment, because you got to be there forever. I guess maybe at ports you could get off. Like, I've never performed stand up on a cruise. I have friends who have, and it sounds like pure hell. But no, 9 months, I would never in a million years. Not even to see the world. I'd rather do all the other things we've talked about on the headlines than that. And now it's time for
choo-choo
recommendation station. Greg, what do you?
I'm going to recommend a movie that I finished watching recently called Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar. You ever watch that?
I did a long time ago.
What did you think?
I thought it was funny. I thought parts of it were very funny.
Exactly.
And overall, it was like a long SNL sketch, but in the best way, like in the best way you could say that. And I thought the guy from 50 Shades of Grey was really funny.
Yes.
Like when
you just
into song,
you just described it all for Jamie me. Dornan. Like, I didn't need to watch the whole thing. In fact, I think I watched it in two or three different parts spread over like months. It's like, oh, I kind of forgot about that. And it was like an SNL skit, but it made me happy. Like, it was hilarious off the top. I love their chemistry. I love
yes.
Kristen Wiig, and it made me happy to see Kristen Wiig like clearly having fun and just being funny. So, you know, it's not going to change your life or anything, but it definitely like cracked me up for an hour and a half. Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar.
I don't know. When I think of Kristen Wiig, I want to see Cheetah in Wonder Woman 1984. I don't want to see her try comedy. You know what I mean? I think of Kristen Wiig very much as Cheetah.
She's Erica, good in other stuff too, but it was fun to just see her. You could tell
yes.
clearly like how close they are as friends.
It's, yeah, it's
it,
like her best friend.
Off.
They wrote it together. It's like what you want to see from someone like that. It's a dream project for them, I'm sure. That it was fun to watch. It was like watching friends get together with some money and just entertain us for a little while. I do like
it
that.
It's on Hulu.
Erica, do you have anything for us this week?
No, just that book that I'm talking about. And then also I've been really, really into, I don't think we've talked about it, the three of us, but the American Crime Story. I don't think it's finished yet, but I'm really loving it.
I watched the first episode and was like, no, I don't care.
Yeah.
And I loved the OJ one so much that I thought maybe this will be cool. And I just didn't care. I never got to see Bill Clinton. I didn't really get to get into most of it. I think the first episode's all about Linda Tripp. And I was just like, I don't want to watch this.
It's fascinating as like a woman too, because basically it's like growing up, everyone was like, Monica Lewinsky's a slut. Like, that's it. Like, there's no kind of other like dialogue around it. And then watching it now, to be like, holy shit, she's like a 22-year-old girl. And like it just really, from my perspective, because I was so young when it happened, it's like just the way I've even looked at it, I just find fascinating. I can't stop like reading articles about it at each episode. Like, I'm really
into
it.
There's been too much Clinton content before this, though, lately. Like, I listened to this podcast called Slow Burn about the Clinton, the Lewinsky stuff, which was really good. But I had revisited it enough.
Yeah.
I love, Erica, that you just pointed out something that everyone has been pointing out for the last 10 years. My recommendation this week is not even out yet. I got I want to thank Penguin Random House for sending me books. The books that get sent to me either by fans of JRVP or the publishing houses get sent to my manager. And I don't see her that often, especially in the pandemic. Her assistant's working from home, so I rarely get the books. But she came to Largo on Friday and brought me like a giant bag of books, and I like literally dumped it out and tore through it looking for the new Emily St. John Mandel book. Everyone who like listens to this podcast knows that I talked about The Glass Hotel by Emily St. John Mandel for like a year straight. I was so into it. And I got an advanced copy of that and loved it. She also wrote Station 11, which is the first book I read of hers and loved. And this book, it's called Sea of Tranquility. It comes out in April. And I recommend you go and pre-order it right now. When she announced April? It a couple months ago. Yeah. It's like, I mean, it's taking forever to print books. Like, you know, in Europe, they're out of the paper to print books. Like, because of supply and the supply chain getting fucked up, you like can't get paper books. Like, they have to be very judicious about what they print up and what they just put on Kindle. They get ready to get a Kindle.
I mean, I went to a lot of packed bookstores in London, but you know,
the bookstores are doing well, but that's why they're running out. They like when they decide they're going to print a new book, they have to decide how many copies, and they just don't have the paper. They're running out of paper, so it's going to get weird in the next year. With some of these books coming out, they're gonna have to make some choices. But it's called Sea of Tranquility, and it's literally in part a sequel to The Glass Hotel. There are several characters from The Glass Hotel that are in it. When I got to that chapter, I was like blown away. I was like, oh, I'm super into this. And it's kind of about this pandemic. It kind of is about COVID and pandemics in the future. There's time travel in the book. They go through. It's like 1912 all the way to like 2325. Like, it is nuts. And I read it in one sitting. I sat down and read it just today. She's such a great writer. She captures sadness, beautiful sadness, so well. And it really is like I've got the feeling that she wrote it because of the pandemic, that she was had some ideas in her head, and then the pandemic hit and she was like, I've got time, I'm going to sit here and write. And it really is clearly influenced by this. I think it's like the first book, not like a nonfiction about the pandemic, but a novel that kind of embraces what we're all feeling. And it's exactly what you want to read. And I know people might be thinking like, I don't want to read that. If it's about the pandemic, I've just lived through it. You want to read this. You'll come away feeling better than you would have before you read it. I love the book. And again, part of that is the excitement of getting to read it early. So thank you again, Penguin Random House. But also just dealing with the pandemic, not wanting to hear anything about it anymore, but getting to read it from this point of view and see the way she handled it was absolutely perfect. So I'll be talking about it more when it comes closer to the release of the book in April. But I recommend you go and pre-order it. Go to your bookstore and ask them, tell them you want a copy and see if we can get as many printed before they run out of fucking paper. And that was
choo choo
recommendation station. Debbie, let me kiss that butt.
What? Whoa, Nelly Furtado, that's a spicy meatball.
I know, right?